And welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show here. Truth is our bitch every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And I hold in my hand here my iPhone. And on that iPhone, people who are watching Phil TV in HD can see the beautiful, crisp, clean, gorgeous picture, the video cast, the Phil TV picture on the iPhone there. So if you are mobile tonight, if you're going out someplace, let's see, what is this? What night is this?
It's a Thursday night.
Thursday night. So let's say you're out drinking and dancing and,
What? Talk about dancing.
It's Thursday night, Phil.
I know, I'm kidding. But let's just say there are some people that like to go dancing and drinking and, you know.
Well, maybe if they're night off, like tomorrow.
Yeah, some people have a 3-day weekend. So if you're out and about tonight, take your mobile with you and watch us as we work whatever it is that we work. And man, we work it. You know, we work it for all it's worth. And we try to come out of here a few dollars ahead. Who knows? Anyway, welcome to the program. And we are online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. All of that and yours can be yours with a backstage pass, $9.99 for a single month, or you can get a year's subscription, 6 months, whatever. Watch the video cast. Listen to the 5,000 plus hours of archived audio that we have. Watch our webisodes. Listen to the Milwaukee Lions. Listen to and watch our video cast archive. Join us in our news section, our comments section, and just watch it as we grow and continue to swell and continue to. Don't give me that look.
Well, I think some of the language.
All right. So anyway, nice to be with you here this evening. Bud, you were laughing all about Dick Trickle. Do you want me to get this out of the way? Okay.
Well,
I think it's disrespectful, okay? I think it's disrespectful.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy's name.
I don't care what his name is. You know, all through my life, Dick Trickle had a funny name, and everybody made fun of the guy. The guy committed suicide. You understand that?
Well, you can't expect people to... I'm supposed to maintain a straight face.
Yes. Yes. Don't act like a child.
I'm not a child, Phil. I think it is unfortunate that the man... Why couldn't he have changed his name?
You know, I saw a guy tweet this...
No, why couldn't he have changed his name?
No, hold on. I saw a guy tweet today with a name like Dick Trickle. Some guys are going to go for any laugh they can. And this guy tweeted today... With a name like Dick Trickle, I'm surprised he didn't kill himself by middle school, which I thought was fairly funny. But then he followed it up with, better late than never. And I thought that was totally uncalled for. It's too bad. But the thing about Dick Trickle, he wasn't about to change his name for any jive-ass comic on Twitter, for me, for you, for anybody. That was his name. He's going to live with that name, and that's where it's at. And he was a fun-loving guy. He probably had a lot of fun with the name.
Not much, but... If you'll tell people what it means.
Yeah, you gotta tell people what Dick Trickle means.
No, I don't have to tell them that. Do I?
No, I don't think so. I think that they can imagine.
All right, so you're just assuming.
I'm assuming everybody gets... In any event, Dick Trickle, for all of the humor in the poor man's name, for all of the laughs that people got down through the years with Dick Trickle, as well as, you know, at his expense, because, as I say, he was a fun-loving guy. He was a NASCAR automobile race car driver. This guy was a part of a very elite group. And let's, before we like to mock people like that, let's remember what he did for a living. And I've always had an inordinate amount of respect for race car drivers. As opposed to, say, hockey players, football players, or anybody else like that. Because I've always said this, and I will always say it, race car drivers and the sport of motor racing actually serves a purpose that is valuable to society. Unlike any other sport that I can name, automobile racing is the testing ground for the modern passenger car. The cars that you drive, that I drive, that our wives and our kids and our husbands drive... that we want to ensure are safe, that we want to ensure are high-performing, that we want to ensure we're getting our money's worth, that the fuel is the right kind of fuel, the carburation, the tires, everything that goes into today's automobile is tested by these guys. So when we talk about automobile racing, the sport of motorsports, when we talk about the guys that drive the cars, I think we're talking about a rather unique group. Are they athletes? I don't even want to... Is a test pilot an athlete? Would you call a test pilot an athlete, Bud Dickman?
What?
Would you call...
He's not even listening to you.
Put that down, bud, okay? God, for God's sake, how many times are you going to look at a Rubik's Cube?
Gotta figure it out.
You've been trying to figure that out for as long as I've known you. Put it down. Would you say a test pilot is an athlete?
Well, what do you mean by test pilot? Is he a pilot? What's he testing?
A test pilot, man. A guy that flies jets.
I don't think he is.
You don't think he's an athlete, meaning...
I don't think that what he is,
what he does is not his body. What he does is the plane.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So what you're saying is the primary instrument used in the test is not him, but the aircraft, and so therefore he's simply the pilot of the larger instrument, which is the aircraft.
Yes, but the way you held your hands apart like that, Phil, it looked vulgar. And I know you didn't mean it as vulgar.
But I'm not talking about...
Shut up, bud. I'll handle it. What?
You didn't mean it as vulgar, but you were looking at me and smiling and going, yeah, you know.
Margaret, so what is that supposed to mean?
I know you didn't mean it, but there's a video cast, hello, and people are looking at you leering. You weren't leering, okay? I'll give you that.
Yeah, you're saying people are leering. Sometimes maybe they're not leering.
I'll decide who's leering at me and who isn't, all right? Is that all right with you?
Yeah, but Ms. Gray...
I'll decide who's leering... I'm saying, Phil, you weren't leering on purpose, but you were looking at me, and at the instant that you held your hands apart, you licked your lips.
Yeah, I did see that, Mr. Henry.
So what? You know, it's better that you just ignore this stuff than you just went into a whole long 5-minute explanation as to what it was I was doing while I'm trying to talk about something else. Which is whether I want to stick to the point, okay? God, you talk about having a dirty mind.
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah, I'm holding my hands. So I'm saying, in other words...
Now, slow down, Phil, because you're not speaking English anymore.
Yeah, but Stanley, you're going... I it sounded almost like Mozambique or something.
Yeah, probably what your ancestors spoke. Ow! He's not allowed to do that.
Yes, I gave Robert clearance to hit you, too. So now, by the end of your run here on this show, bud, you're going to be a mess. You're going to have broken bones. I don't even think you're going to be able to move.
Yeah, pretty funny.
It is to me. Margaret, because I got my arms out, my hands out like this, I'm not talking about the size of my penis, because that's what you're talking about.
How dare you articulate it?
Well, I just did. And I'm not looking at you and going, hey, yeah, I had my hands out like that as I was expressing something about motorsports. Okay?
Fair enough.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, why would you belabor it now, Phil?
Because you did. Because you brought it up. And I'm going to take as much time explaining myself as you took with your whole I was leering at you with my hands and all of that nonsense. So to get back to the point, I believe that these guys are very special guys. Dick Trickle was a guy that ran in the NASCAR end of things. He did not win any big points races. He was well known, in fact, as an underachiever. But he achieved this cult status because of his name, because his name also was popularized by Keith Olbermann on his sports reports, because he himself was a kind of a cut-up and a crazy dude. He smoked cigarettes. He smoked cigarettes while they were taking their sometimes a green flag lap when they were starting the race. He would try to get a cigarette in. He actually had carved or bored a hole in his helmet where he could put the cigarette to smoke it. And then just before they started off the actual race, he'd pitch it out the window and set fire to a puddle of gasoline in pit row and burn everyone alive. I'm kidding, okay?
Well, people are going to believe that.
No, he didn't, but...
But that time he saw that guy leaping around and everything.
What?
It was pretty funny. You're talking about a guy that was leaping about.
Yeah, you said one guy got on fire and started leaping around going, hey, yeah.
Yeah, you're all, hey.
Tell them, don't do that, bud.
What? Yee. Ow. Yee. Yee.
Boy, that was pretty low, Margaret.
Well, and they'll get lower.
It was Rick Mears. It was Indianapolis, and I forget the year, but Rick Mears was standing in pit row, and it had been a hell of a day all the way around, and Rick Mears was standing either next to his car or in pit. He was in pit row, I think, and suddenly he caught fire. the fuel that they use, or at least at that time, when the fuel is ignited.
Yeah, and spit it out.
Okay, when the fuel is ignited, you can't see the flames. They're invisible. And so Mears was jumping around in the pits, waving to people. And finally, one of the pit guys saw him. It didn't take that long. It was only a couple of seconds before a guy looked over, saw what was going on, pulled a fire extinguisher and put him out. But Mears, for a few seconds, as you're watching this poor man, this guy's on fire. Somebody put him out. But you can't see the flames. All you see is him jumping up and down and patting himself and waving to people, put me out.
Did he say that? Did he say put me out? Or did he just wave and scream?
I don't think he screamed.
Yeah, because a lot of times the guys are on fire and go, you know, like in the movies.
Yeah, no, I know in the movies. I don't think he did. Let's take a break. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bud Dickman with more of his audition for the NFL Films. I can't believe this is continuing. Your NFL film job. We got Bud Dickman, and we'll also be joined by David G. Hall and Ted Bell on the show tonight. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are awaiting the arrival of Ted Bell. He's going to be with us here in just a moment, and we're going to talk to him about an interesting phenomenon. I say phenomenon, an interesting trend, if you will, perhaps an interesting fad, and that is the cicada bug that we were mentioning on the show last night. This is this insect that comes up out of the earth every, whatever it is, 17 years, and makes all this racket. This is what we were trying to tell you, bud.
That's not like a cricket.
It's related to the cricket, but it's not a cricket. No, crickets come out every night and just do their thing. But this is a very specific kind of animal, insect that every 17 years, according to Ted, there are those in the food service business, the more creative chefs, I guess, who are actually trying to turn this damn thing into some sort of a delicacy, the cicada, as a something to eat, you know. So we're going to talk with him here from Ted's Beverly Hills as Ted Bell joins us tonight on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, Bill, you said it right. Ted's of Beverly Hills, you know, we've never shied away from being creative, from being a cut above the rest. And we think we've got something here with this cicada. Although there's also the Cipollino. Do you know about that, Phil?
The Cipollino is also sort of an insect?
Yes. The Cipollino is a Mexican insect, and I don't know why they qualify or classify it as a Mexican insect. I made the joke to Bill Fefferty, who does a lot of our delivery. I said, Bill, these insects, these Cipollinos, are you sure they're legal? And he laughed, and I, you know...
Oh, because they're from Mexico.
Yeah, the Mexican Cipollinos. Well, what we did do, and we're known for this at Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I wish the word got out a little bit better. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are listening, if you've ever been to Ted's of Beverly Hills, understand we're a steakhouse, and we are one of the best steakhouses, I'd like to think, in the world. And I think there's evidence to that effect. I have, by the way, Phil, offered Jody Arias, the young lady who was convicted of the murder of the young man Travis Alexander, I have offered her and her family a steak dinner with all the trimmings. Now, understand something. I'm not doing that because I think that she is a good person. I am simply doing it to offer this to her as a way of saying, you know, we'd like you to have a steak dinner. You got to understand, there's a little bit of a publicity value. I shouldn't be talking about this now.
No, I don't think you should. What do you mean publicity value?
Well, what I mean is that she is well known. I understand she is now considered to be a murderer, but when I made the offer, she was not yet convicted. So I'm saying that we have offered her and her family a steak dinner with all the trimmings, and it is our way of saying, this is what a decent human being eats. If you, Ms. Arias, had been a decent human being, this could be something you would enjoy. So please have a decent human being's meal, you know, before they...
Before she's executed or before she spends the rest of her life in prison.
Who was... Was that you, Phil?
No, that's Margaret.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I said, Ted, before she's executed.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with her. I'm just saying it's our way of saying to her, this is what a decent human being eats, and we're offering it to you. See, you know, I think it's a very good idea. Bill Hefferty, who I was talking to, and my wife, Marcy, both thought that we would simply be promoting a killer. I said, no. No. First of all, when I made the offer, it was before she was convicted. I didn't want that to just go off the table. So I said to her, how about this? We offer her a steak dinner with all the trimmings, and we say this is her being able to have a steak dinner like a normal human being, like a regular, you know. See what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know whether or not that's a...
Phil, I'm not asking your opinion.
No, I see what you're saying, but I mean, I should give an opinion, don't you think? I mean, this being a talk show.
Well, all right, that's fine, but I what I'm trying to tell you is I think it's a good idea, and I'd like you to support it as a good idea and not sit here and go, oh, well, let me think, Ted. No, I think it's a terrible idea, and let me just destroy your restaurant business while I'm in this, you know?
I don't think I'm doing that. I'm just saying, in my opinion, you may be getting people who will misunderstand the intention. It's very difficult for me to understand you giving Jody Arias or Arias or whatever the hell her name is.
You should know. You're the announcer. What's her name?
I think it's Arias or Arias.
That's two different ways. So,
well, if you're going to promote this, don't you think you ought to know how to pronounce her name?
I should, but I'm taking my cue from you. Look, I don't care. At this point, all I'm telling you is I didn't even want to talk about the steak dinner because I said that I wanted to come on here and talk to you about the Cipollinos and the not just the Cipollinos, but also the cicadas. Now, we had these Cipollinos on our bar, and the bar patrons were eating them as if they were peanuts. I told them, try it. It's a salted snack. And they said, well, what is it? I said, just don't even worry about it. And finally, this one guy, you know this guy, Duke Porter, right?
Uh-huh.
Duke finally said, well, what is it? I've had about, 15 of them. They're very good. I said, it's an insect from Mexico. And he had the reaction, you know, and I said to him, what's the problem with you? I said, isn't it delicious? And he wouldn't talk to me. He got up and sort of held onto the bar and walked as if he was going to the men's room, but he kept on making the turn toward the front door, and I thought he was leaving. And I said, Duke, quit fooling around, and you know that it tasted good. You said it tasted good. He said, you fed me a bug, and that's when he made the left-hand turn away from the door toward the men's room, didn't go into the men's room, went into the ladies' room. So that's when I said to him, get out. And so when he started complaining that I fed him insects, I said, no, he's nuts. I threw him out because I saw him trying to go into the ladies' can.
Well, what kind of a story is that?
I'm sorry? How do you want me to answer that? What kind of a story is that?
You talking about this guy ate an insect?
I'm talking about the guy that had the Cipollino, yeah. This guy ate the Cipollino. What do you need to know, Phil?
You're telling me that this guy ate something you said you encouraged him to eat it, and he did, and then he found out it was a Cipollino. Well, it was a salty snack. He liked it, right?
Yeah, he liked it.
He ate it, and then you told him it was actually an insect, and he got up from the bar, and he staggered as if he was going out the front door, and then made a turn toward the men's can, but went in the ladies' room instead.
My mistake, yeah, but that gave me my out. So that when he complained, and I said, well, listen, I'll tell you something, Duke. You went into the lady's head. Do you really want to make a big deal out of this? And that's when he threw his hands up, and he said, no, thank you. And that was the end of that.
Well, was he sick?
No, he wasn't sick. He was just, psychologically, he thought that he'd been poisoned or otherwise something had happened to him. And I said, no, you're fine, you chicken. And so, but that was my effort at introducing something that was exotic. And we love to do the exotic thing at Ted's in Beverly Hills. And I think with the Cipollino, I think with the cicada, when we start cooking those up.
Well, the cicada, I can tell you right now, I ain't going to eat it.
Well, all right, that's fine, Phil. But thank God you're not necessarily the one that people are going to be listening to when it comes to fine dining, especially when you say things like, the cicada, I ain't going to eat it. People are going to think that you're eating over here at Steerburger. Well, guess what? My place is a class place all the way.
Well, then I hope you get somebody classy to endorse eating the cicadas much more classy than Duke, because, you know, Duke was on his way to go outside to throw up, it sounds like.
No, he was making a big deal out of the fact that I gave him an insect and I didn't tell him it was an insect. And he loved it. It tasted great. Then I said, it's an insect, and he's making a big deal out of it. So I had to say, you went into the ladies' can, get out.
Have you 86'd him?
You better believe it. Yeah.
So he can't come in the restaurant ever again?
No.
Phil. We'll be right back, folks.
You?
No, hold on, Phil. I know the guy.
Bill Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
In a moment, I'll be introducing our chef, Carl Cedilia, who is our main chef at Chick's. The name of my restaurant is Ted's of Beverly Hills. Why don't I call it Chick's? Chick's of Beverly Hills. My younger brother started a Chick's. All right, let me just say this, Bill. My younger brother started a hamburger place called Chick's of Beverly Hills. My younger brother's name, like Chick Hearn, was Francis, and we called him Chick, okay?
And he started Chick's of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, it was a hamburger place, and I told him, I said, I can't allow that, I can't, and Chick said, well, why not? I said, because I'm Ted Bell, and he said, well, I'm Chick Bell, and I said, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. You could be, it doesn't even mean that much in our family. And he said, oh, you dirty. And so I said, that's it. You know, I'm going to make sure they don't give you your license. And so Chick works for me. And that's why I said Chick's of Beverly Hills. Now,
what does Chick do?
Chick is doing what Chick does. Don't worry about what he does. He makes a nice salary. Don't worry about it.
Well, all right. I'm sorry to ask.
Why would you be rude about that, Ted?
What did you say?
Why are you rude about that? What does Chick do?
I just got done telling you Chick does what Chick does. And,
Well, what does that mean, Chick Desmond? You sound like a little boy.
Look, if he doesn't want to say, you know...
If I sound like a little boy... That's okay, Phil, I got this. Margaret, if I sound like a little boy, that's right. Chick Bell is my kid brother. He works for me, and he does the jobs that I tell him to do, and he makes a nice salary, and that's all it is. You know, I don't want to say any more.
Okay. It sounds very, you know...
What, like I'm running a criminal operation or something? Okay, Margaret, here you go. Chick drops bodies off for me in the ocean. How about that?
Well, if that's what you're saying...
No, I'm not saying that, but that's...
All right, forget it. Forget I even brought it up, okay? Ted Bell is with us here. Chef Carl Cedilia is also going to be online, and we're going to talk to Chef Carl Cedilia this segment, Ted, about this chef on a German island, the German island of Sylt, which I'm S-Y-L-T, which I'm assuming is some sort of a tourist area. Anyway, it was a Japanese chef in a Japanese restaurant on this German island of Sylt, and he was eventually beat up and killed by a couple of customers, correct?
That's exactly right, Phil. And what happened was this. This chef had served up a Chinese a fried noodle dish that these two... You know, these, what do you want to call them? I want to say kraut. They're not krauts, you know, but they're...
Germans, or just two men.
Well, two men, that doesn't say enough. Two Germans took exception to this, and they walked out without paying. Now, the Japanese chef, a man by the name of Mickey Nozawa, ran after them. Or excuse me, did not run after them. The two guys walked out without paying. Later on that night, he met these two guys at a so-called table dance bar, and he ran into them, and the argument started anew. You went out of my restaurant without paying, and they said, well, your fried noodle dish, we wouldn't feed that to a hog. And that's when the Japanese guy said, you're on, and chose off both of these guys. Now, I don't know where you come from, Phil, but where I come from, if you choose off two guys... You are either your Superman or you're Chuck Norris or you're mentally deficient. I don't know which it was with this guy, but he decides that he's going to go ahead, gentlemen, step right up to the plate. I'll take both of you now. And they wound up beating him to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they wound up beating this poor guy to the point where he died from brain trauma and internal injuries in intensive care. The specific cause of death is not yet known, though a German prosecutor has stated an autopsy is being performed. whether or not these two guys are charged with the German equivalent of manslaughter, or of course in that country, I don't even know if it's against the law.
Ted, the German jokes are old hat, man. They're.
Well, what do you mean old hat?
It's just not tasteful anymore. The German people, it's a couple of generations removed from those bad days. And they're great people, and they've built their country back up, and they're not hiding anything. They take full responsibility for this, that, and everything else. Let's quit it with the German, and the Kraut this.
All right, fine. So anyway, Chef Carl Cedilia is joining us here. Chef Carl Cedilia, who's been working for me for several years. Carl, how are you?
Oh, I'm really great, boss. Good to be with you. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Chef Carl.
Carl, I want to ask you something. If you were Chinese or Japanese or whatever this gentleman...
He's Japanese.
Yeah, if you were Japanese and you're serving up a noodle dish, okay, and you give it to a couple of these, to a couple of Germans, and they basically tell you that you should put it back in the toilet that you pulled it out of, what would you do?
Well, it was very difficult to say what I would do. In other words, they tell me they don't like the way it tastes.
That's what they're saying, Chef, that they hate it, and they're not going to pay for it.
Yeah, I left that up, that they're not going to pay for it.
That's a very difficult. If someone's going to come out of the restaurant and not pay for a fried noodle, and it is a dish, a special dish of mine.
Yeah, Phil, did you hear that, Phil? Chef Carl said that the fried noodle is one of your specialty dishes, right? I didn't mishear that, did I?
Oh, no, it's one of my favorites. It's one of my specialties.
All right, right there. You heard it. I didn't make it up. You heard it. One of his specialty dishes. So two Germans come in.
Well, also, hold on. I'm a Japanese man. I make a fried noodle.
Fried noodle.
I'm sorry, fried noodle. If I'm a Japanese man, I make fried noodle. And in come these two German men. Now, I would say to them, are you sure you want to have the fried noodle? Because the fried noodle I make is one spicy dish. I'm not sure whether the Northern Europeans,
All right, but let's just say they say we would like to have the fried noodle dish.
All right, I lay that on them with all the trimming, and I give them that fried noodle. Now, if they say they don't like it, it tastes bad, I don't go outside, and they run and they leave. I don't like that. I don't know anyone that does. I would find them. And I would hold them down until they came up with the money.
Now, how are you? Now, this is something Phil is going to ask you about.
You would find them and hold them down.
I guess so. I'd have to.
Now, how are you, Chef Carl Cedilia? And you're a formidable guy, Chef, but these are two big, what do you call, Germans, okay?
What is with the what do you call? You know what they are.
All right, they're two Germans. And they've just walked out on you, telling you that your noodle dish is... Right out of a cat's ass. How are you going to hold these guys down?
I when someone is disrespecting the food that I prepare, I am not a happy man, and I will go anywhere, I do anything to get to the individual that has made the disparaging remark, even if it means I lose blood, if it means I...
So, in other words, you will keep going after them and keep going after them.
Yes, sir. That's right. I will keep on and keep on. I'll give you an example of that, Ted. A man had made fun of my noodle, not a noodle dish, made a chicken dish, a chicken fricassee and with the biscuits and all the trimming, right?
Okay.
And
What was this?
It was a chicken biscuit, all the trimming.
Chickens and biscuits and... okay.
Not chickens.
Say chickens. One chicken. It was chicken. It was like three chickens on his plate.
Okay, so chicken and biscuits.
Yeah, man, and a gravy. And so the guy said to me that the food tasted bad, real bad. He said, I can't take it. I can't take it any longer. I said, you have to pay for it. He said, I will not pay for it. I said, yes, you will. Anyway, he went after his car, and I raced after him. I grabbed a hold of his car. And I, with my feet on the ground, I tried to actually hold the car back, but I did hold on to the car as he took off.
Are you hearing that, Phil? He held on to the automobile. Now, what were you doing?
I climbed up on the bumper, on the back bumper.
Wait. This guy,
You're busting my train of thought. Hold on. I climbed up on the back bumper, and I crawled, and it was a convertible. And he was screaming because he couldn't believe that a man would be so intent on getting the money that you owe for your chicken biscuit. And he saw me coming across the back seat. I crawled into the front seat. He's now screaming and crying and begging for his life. And I said, "You pull this over." And I said, I want every penny you got on you. And he just pulled out his wallet. I basically mugged him. You hear that, Bill? He mugged this guy.
Yeah, but you did this after you ran after the guy's car.
I ran after his car. I jumped up on the back bumper, and I crawled almost like that Secret Service agent did when Jackie Kennedy tried to go and get the brain or the head when John Kennedy's head flew off. And
well, he wasn't trying to get his head. It was
the skull or something. I'm sorry. And I crawled just like that Secret Service guy, and I went across the back seat, and I went across the front. I got the front seat, and I said... And he's screaming now. He's screaming like he's seen a mummy movie or ghoul movie, right? Okay.
All right, that's fine. So now he's screaming. He's scared because he's looking at a guy that wants his money so bad. He's crawled onto the back bumper of the car. He's there, right?
Yeah, I'm there. He's there. Yeah, he's there. I said, "You pull it over," and I said, "Now give me your money." And he took out the price of the chicken.
Yeah, this guy was going to give him the price of the chicken and biscuit. And Chef Carl said, "No, that no can do. I want all your money, right?"
I mugged him, and I said, "You got your car, and you got yourself a meal, but you've been mugged. And you just," I said, "you tell him Chef Carl Cedilia was here. Chef Carl Cedilia was here." And I've always used that my calling card, you know.
Well, what do you mean you've always used that as a calling card?
Let me do it, Ted. I'm Ted Bell. I know you're Ted Bell, but I'm Carl Cedilia. I'm Chef Carl Cedilia.
All right. You know what? Don't let that get to your head, okay? Just because you crawled up the back bumper of a Cadillac, a convertible, which I got to admit, Phil, that's a beautiful scene. Here's this guy with a processed pompadour, and he's wearing the white sports jacket. He gets into his convertible Cadillac, and he's getting off. He's taking off, and now he turns and he sees Chef Carl Cedilia crawling up the back bumper, and he starts to scream like a bitch. And,
all right, let's watch the language, okay?
But anyway, I got the money. And I said, "You tell him. You tell him. You know that movie, Tell Him Willie Boyler Here? You ever seen that?"
Tell Him Willie Boy, yeah.
I said, "You tell him that Chef Carl Cedilia, you saw him today. You tell him it's Chef Carl Cedilia. He mugged you." And the guy was all shaking and scared and everything.
Before we go to the break, I want to ask something, Chef Cedilia. Has that ever been of a benefit to you that somebody said Chef Carl Cedilia did this to me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that one guy, you know, he went home, he told his wife, his kids, everywhere anybody talked to says, they said, "Can you pick up the bar?" He said, "I have no money. Chef Carl Cedilia come knocking."
Yeah, you know what I mean, Phil? So this guy, don't ever tell Chef Carl Cedilia his doodle dish is no good, because he wouldn't have beat those Germans up. What would you have done?
I would have chased after him. I would have got on the back end of their car, and I would have got them both a headlock.
You would have headlocked both of them and got the money out of them. Of course, all you would be getting would be German marks.
Well, that's not the kind of money I'm going to have.
Well, that's true.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back here with Ted Bell, Chef Carl Cedilia, on what happens if you beat the sea, as they say, or beat the check at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Chef Carl will run after you, grab the back bumper of your car, crawl up onto the back of the car like that Secret Service agent did in the Kennedy assassination, crawl into the front seat, force you to pull over, and then mug you for all your money.
Well, I would say that is illegal, and probably people are walking out without paying because the food is horrific. I'm Margaret Gray.
That's great. I'm Phil Hendry.
I'm Bud Dickman.
Yeah, I'm Robert Leonard.
And I'm Phil Hendry.
Truth
and
Bud Dickman is our bitch. The
I'm
Phil Hendry Show.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm the guy that says I'm Phil Hendry at the end.
But I'm Robert Leonard, though.
Welcome back.
My God.
Well, hold on for a minute. What?
I can't believe what I'm looking at. Did you post this on your Facebook page?
Hold on for a minute. Do you mind if I get into the segment here?
Yeah, he did. I saw him do it.
Yeah.
This is the rudest.
Hold on for a minute. Do you mind if I get into the segment?
Sorry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And so what's the problem? Yes, I did post that.
This is the rudest thing. Phil, this is, I do not think this is up. I don't think it's the kind of thing you put on Facebook.
Well, I put it there because the people that are on Facebook, the people listening to the show, people want to know what's going on in my life, okay? And they want to know what I'm thinking.
That thing is pretty bold, Mr. Henry. I give you 100% endorsement and everything.
I agree with Gray. I don't think it. I think it's rude.
You think it's rude, huh? Well, let me tell you this. It's how I was feeling at the time. Did I mention anybody's name? No. Did I say who I'm talking about? No. Did I say what part of the country? No. Did I say nothing?
Well, Phil, what if the young lady in question reads this?
She already knows. She already knows, so it's not about that. She already knows. So if in case there's you know, any woman out there that I've ever had any friendship with, etc.
Why don't you tell people, are you willing to read it? I bet you don't have the guts to read it.
I'll read it. I mean,
yeah, I'm saying, I think you ought to read that.
You don't have the guts. You're yella, aren't you?
No, I am. What is it with you? What is this, Nevada Smith?
No, hold on, Phil. Are you yella, or are you going to read that?
I'm going to read it, but can I ask you something?
What?
How do you spell that word you just said?
What word are you talking about?
You talk about yella.
Y-E-L-L-O-W.
Well, did you hear how you said it?
I'm saying it. I'm looking you in the eyes, and I'm asking you, are you going to read it, or are you yella? What is he laughing at?
Well, Miss Gray, you're saying it all like...
You're saying it like Carl Malden at the end of Nevada Smith. Yella! You know?
I don't know. Look, Phil, I live in this century, and I'm saying you haven't got the guts to read that.
I'm going to read it right now. This is what I posted on Facebook. One other thing I wrote, because I had written something before about my beard coming off, I forget what. And I know what. I'd written something about, try to make sense, people. Don't lose the message in an effort to be clever. A lot of people on Facebook these days.
Oh, no. You're not going to sidetrack, Phil.
I'll get to it. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of time. But there's a lot of people on Facebook these days, in an effort to be clever, you don't know what the hell they're talking about. Now, I'm not talking about myself or anybody else that makes a living at communicating. Yes, there are times when we suck at it, but the fact is, it's what I do for a living. So, you know, I give myself a pass. Sorry. If you are on Facebook because you're taking a coffee break from whatever job, you know, that you usually do, and it has nothing to do with comedy or entertainment, then just say what it is you want to say, and because everybody's trying to get the punchline out. All right.
Just read what you wrote, and don't be yella.
Yeah, say yella.
I said Y-E-L-L-O-W.
You're going yella.
Read it.
I wrote one other thing. I'm old and getting older, but the last bitch, yes, I wrote that, the last bitch that tried to play me as some kind of a sugar daddy is checking back into her waitress job right about now. Honey, that's who you're winding up with, a waiter.
That is rude and angry, and I think you owe that girl an apology.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
You're not going to apologize.
No, I'm not going to apologize. Does that say Glenn Beck commented? Look at that. There's somebody pretending to be Glenn Beck. Hey, Glenn, they're pretending to be you, man. B-H-E-C-K. How do you like the pair on people, huh?
Somebody always pretending to be you.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a guy. There's always people pretending to be me, but I guess they're always pretending to be Glenn. I'm not apologizing for that. It happens to be a fact.
Are you going to give us some specifics?
No, I'm not going to give any specifics. I told the whole story right there. The last bitch that tried to play me a song. Look, when I said I'm getting old, I'm getting older, whatever, you know, I know that there's probably my age group of guys, see, we are now the victims of a new kind of criminal mentality, the predatory younger chick. And what they do is they force their way into your hotel room, they force you to have sex with them, and then they force you to take them to dinner and dance with them, and then they force you to take them back and have more sex with them. Now,
would you get serious, please?
No, what I'm saying is this. There are younger women who think, oh, wow, you know, I think I'll try and hook up with, who, you know, like some guy that I think has money. And they think that because you're an old guy, you're going to be happy with them just being on your arm and spending your dough. and there isn't going to be any of the traditional kind of younger guy sex. Well, I got news for you. You know, that's not the case with me, and it not with any other guy I know. So any cat that falls for that, and there's guys that do. There's guys that, like, get suckered into hanging with a younger woman, spending their dough on her, and they're totally cool with just sort of being kind of a quasi-eunuch or something. I don't know. This kid here, that's not where it's at. I mean, I see everybody as an equal, and they may be younger than me, but if they're adults, they're adults, and it's an adult relationship. And so, no, you know, we're not playing that one, you know.
Well, what was it? So she didn't want to have sex with you or something?
No, it wasn't that. It was that, I didn't even really, the perception that I got, the feeling that I got was that it was just one of these, you know, I'm going to be the sugar daddy. And I said, no, I am not. And, get lost and go back to fetching hash browns. So, there you go.
You still have breakfast at a restaurant?
At what restaurant?
Where she works.
I never did have any breakfast at that restaurant. I don't even know where it is. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Never go off into sleep with a lot of guys at work. Yeah, you hope you make enough money someday to do the thing that Mr. Henry.
And the other people, too.
What?
Oh, forget it.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We just watched a video. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's the nicest thing I ever saw.
Well, I don't know. I think that...
Margaret, just don't say anything, okay? This was the most beautiful little video.
Oh, I'm not allowed to give my opinion.
Yes, you can, but you're going to make yourself look really bad. This was a beautiful video. We just showed it on Phil TV. It was a Portland, Oregon police officer who was speeding after a speeder. He was chasing a guy who he had clocked in excess of the speed limit. And all of a sudden, and the video was enhanced by the Portland Police Department. They put some exciting music and et cetera and so forth make it fun to watch on YouTube, because they had released the video for a reason, to show the human side, I guess, of police officers. What happened was, this Portland traffic cop is chasing this guy on a rainy day, and all of a sudden comes upon, if you're ready for this, a family of ducks.
See, I think that's irresponsible.
What, you gonna have him run a duck over? Guy, why don't you get Ted Bell back on? He the man ran the duck.
See, listen, did you just hear that?
Margaret, you're on the wrong side of this, okay? So just be quiet. I'm telling you, I'm trying to give you a helpful hint here. By the way, in a minute.
See, look at how nervous you are. In a minute,
David G. Hall joins us on the topic of younger women, older men, and who's spending whose money. Because, frankly, we think David is in a world of hurt with the girlfriends. You know, how many has he had this past 3 weeks?
It's the same girl, but she's got, like, I think 15 different names.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what are you saying?
I think you know what I'm saying. I think it's more than one girl. Anyway, so to wrap up the story of the ducks, the Portland police officer chasing this speeder.
Well, he's chasing the ducks.
He was chasing a speeder.
But he wound up chasing the ducks.
Don't get me confused now. He was in his car chasing a speeder. You don't chase ducks.
Well, no, you don't chase ducks. That's the point we're trying to make. A lot of people probably might think.
What? What did you just say?
I said, Mr. Henry, that telling that he was chasing a speeder, if he's in a car chasing after ducks.
He was not chasing ducks. How fast do you think a duck can run?
Pretty damn fast. If a cop can't catch him, whoa!
Now, God, I hate you, bud, when you laugh like that. So the cop stops and he shoos this cute little family of ducks off the road, allowing the speeder to get away. But the Portland police released the video to show that, you know what, we do have a human side, and look at what this officer did. You know, there's more and more of these videos that are coming out about police officers doing these nice things, and I think they should. Because I think cops all too often get nothing but a bad rap. And generally the people that are talking crap about cops have had a lot of run-ins with cops. And generally, they've had a lot of run-ins with cops. Why? Because they're law-breaking scum. That's why. So we're basically forming our opinion about cops based upon the opinion of law-breaking scum. Thank you.
Hey.
Cut. Now, so this guy, you know, and then another one they showed of a guy doing some sort of a weird-ass breakdance in the garage of the Portland, was it called the Harlem Shake? He was doing it in the garage of the Portland police, and they gave him a ticket and hauled him off to jail, which I also think was fantastic.
Yay!
All right. 877-876-PHIL. So, Margaret, I'm sorry that I didn't let you hold forth on why that officer was not doing his duty as it pertained to ducks, or excuse me, speeders, but I think it was better, don't you, that he stopped and he shooed the little ducks away.
I think it's cute, but it is not why we hire our police.
So you want to see the duck get crushed?
I'm not answering that question because that's a loaded question. I'm simply saying...
Whoa, wait. What do you mean a loaded question?
He said, do I think the police officer should crush duck? I'm not crush... Should have crushed the duck.
There's a family of them, is the whole point. There's a mother duck and a children duck.
The ducklings.
The what?
The ducklings. That's what they're called. Duckling.
Duckling. I don't know him. I wouldn't know him.
It's not a he. Are you going to step in or do I have to do something?
Bud, duckling is the term for baby duck, okay?
All right, so I said children duck in order to make it more human.
It's not human. It's duck.
Well,
I agree with Bud and not you, Margaret. In this instance, that police officer, there was a speeder, yes. But had he run after that speeder and ignored the ducks, it would have shown a kind of a callousness. I don't know. I mean, if that speeder went on to kill some people.
Ah, now you're looking at things my way.
All right, well, you may have a point. If that speeder down the road killed human beings, then I suppose, hindsight being 2020, I would have to say you're right. But I guess that didn't happen.
Yes, and you're lucky that it didn't happen. But if that speeder had killed a family, had killed a woman and her children, had run over a female with a baby in a stroller instead of a duckling, my God. I don't even want to consider what would have happened then.
But what do you, let's go ahead and look at this. If that speeder gets away, as he did, and the officer stops to shoo the ducks, but the speeder continues on and hits a woman pushing a baby carriage, killing both the baby and the mother. Now that becomes the big story of the day in Portland. The officer that was chasing that man who stopped to shoo off some ducks would be indicted. Not necessarily legally indicted as a criminal, but he would be indicted in the press as being a brainless, duck-loving imbecile, and he shouldn't be a cop. He should be working for PETA.
There you go. And now you see my point. That's exactly what we would be calling that police officer. We wouldn't be thinking of him as a nice guy or a duck lover. And, you know, in some parts of this country, calling someone a duck lover is going to get you shot. And I mean right through the eyes.
Well, you're saying that like you know something about it.
I do. I'm from Pennsylvania. And my father hunted, and my uncles hunted, my grandfather hunted, and some of them even hunted duck. I'm kidding. Yes, no, they were duck hunters. They hunted a lot of different things. They hunted moose and what's the one with the antlers?
Reindeer.
Not reindeer, you jackass.
Deer.
Deer, yes. And if you were to call my father a duck lover... Don't let the sun set on you.
Wow, what a charged thing to... What do you mean, don't let the sun set on you? What's that supposed to mean?
Just exactly what I said.
Hey, man, you're a duck lover.
Yes, because in that part of the country, it's the same thing as calling someone an N-lover in old days.
Wow, are you putting me on? I'm sure, hey, you're a duck lover. Don't let the sun set on you.
That's right.
By the way, I saw not for nothing, and we'll get David Hall here in a minute. I saw a very interesting story, Unsolved Serial Murders. One of the unsolved serial murders is the a killing of people at night in this Arizona town, I think, in the 40s. And it is the town upon which the movie The Town That Dreaded Sundown, I think. You know that movie?
It rings a bell.
There's a movie called The Town That Dreaded Sundown. It was made in the 60s or 70s. It's based upon this true story of a serial killer that stalked this town after the sunset. And there was a sign that said, don't let the sun set on you in this town. I'll look it up during the break. We've got David G. Hall hanging in just a moment.
Shouldn't say hanging, Phil. We're talking about the sundowners and duck lovers.
Duck lovers? What's that got to do with anything?
I don't want to say, but if you were perceived as a duck lover in my part of the country, in Pennsylvania, they might find you hanging from a tree.
Oh, would you get out of here?
I'm not kidding.
They really love their duck hunting there, huh?
Don't make a joke out of it, bud. It gives me chills.
Oh, get out of here. They find you hanging from a tree because you're a duck lover. All right, we're going to come back with David G. Hall and Enough of This Falderall. David G. Hall and Enough of This Falderall. David G. Hall.
Enough of This Falderall. David G. Hall.
It's pretty good.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is
David
our
G.
bitch.
Hall and Enough
the
Phil Falderall
Hendry Show.
You ruined it.
No, I didn't. I made it better.
You ruined it.
I made it.
David G. Hall, who is at Ted's in Beverly Hills. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Phil. We're going to get seated here. I've got Daphne's with me tonight, and we were just talking to Ted Bell here just a moment ago, wherever he is.
You wanted to discuss this post.
I do, and I'll tell you, the reason why I wanted to talk to you about it, Phil, is simply this. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Hey, you're on the air right now.
I'm on here with Phil right now, yeah.
Let me find a table for you. Hey, table three.
The reason why, Phil, is, and I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, okay? So please don't think that I am. But I am, hi, how you doing? Let me get seated here, okay? Hey, you. I want a couple of glasses of water. Give me a, what do you want, baby? And a gimlet for her. And I'd like...
Hey, David, I'm on the air.
Sorry, give me a, just... Right, thanks. All right, so what I'm saying is this. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but when you post something like that about guys getting taken by younger women because they might have a couple of bucks, you know that I've been dating Daphne now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, why doesn't she have the same name? Every night there's a different name.
Yeah, because she's got nicknames. Please don't press me on that, okay?
Well, all right, that's fine.
Because that's got nothing to do with anything. Because she's here, and I know that she loves me. If I thought that she was trying to take advantage of me for my money, and if I also thought that she may have another boyfriend on the side, like you suspect this other one of having, I would be very upset. I'm not responsible. You wouldn't do that, would you, honey? I wouldn't be responsible for myself.
See, that's crazy talk.
All right. Well, I didn't mean that. I think you need to give some people the benefit of the doubt. I think you need to give her the benefit of the doubt and just be the kind of individual, you know, that, you know, so she's trying to make a living.
Fine. She can make a living. She can make all the living that she wants to make. She ain't going to make it on my back. And she's not going to treat me like she's probably treated 90% of the men in her life, okay? She's probably got older guys as boyfriends, and then she's got some young dude that she decides she's going to have sex with, and the older guys are just going to have to make do with giving her money and being happy with having her face around? You got to be kidding me. That ain't going to happen.
What are you saying? I'm nuts?
I'm nuts. You can do whatever you want to do, man. I'm just telling you, if you're settling for that, yeah, you are nuts.
Hey, Daphne. When are we going to have sex? See, she said pretty soon.
Yeah, get out of here. Pretty soon. All right, welcome back to the program, folks. 877-876-PHIL and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, David D. Hall. What did I just say?
You said David D.
David G. Hall, my farbulous partner. By the way, at philhendryshow.com, you find the worldwide, the internet headquarters of the Phil Hendry Show. And online at philandryshow.com, we have nightly streaming video of our show. So right now, as I sit here before the beautiful El Pacifico, I'm holding up my iPhone, which has the mobile picture of our show. And you can access our show either on the desktop, on your mobile device, whatever it may be. And you can access it anytime you'd like. You can watch it live as it's happening, or you can watch it, as we say, on demand. It's your decision. And with your $9.99 a month, you not only get that, you get the daily podcast of our radio show, which is there for your download the next day. You get our daily classic podcast, which is a podcast of one of the archived pieces of material. You have all 5,000 hours of full radio shows going back over a decade of the Phil Hendry Show, different generations of the Phil Hendry Show. And you also have our webisodes, which are animated features that were done for us by Stephen White. You have the Milwaukee Lion podcast. You have all kinds of miscellany, including interviews that we've done, television as well as radio, and TV pilots that that we produced. So it's there at philandryshow.com, and this month is Customer Appreciation Month. So, Bud, tell them what they get.
Yeah, Customer Appreciation Month.
Don't yell at you.
I mean, Customer Appreciation Month.
Here, let me do it. Customer Appreciation.
Yeah, I got it. Customer Appreciation Month, on the first month, you get $9.
Give me that. I can't understand anything anybody's saying. Customer Appreciation Month.
No, Customer Appreciation Month.
I'm going to do it. Customer Appreciation.
Boy, I'll tell you, you guys, there isn't a mental illness.
I'll do it. Customer Appreciation Month.
I'm going to lose it.
Take it easy, Margaret. Customer Appreciation Month is this month, and what you get if you sign up for a one-month Backstage Pass is one free best-of download from our shop. If you sign up for a six-month Backstage Pass, you get three free Best of downloads from our shop. And if you get a 1 year Backstage Pass, you get five free best of downloads. Now, when we say best of, we have the best of Bobby Dooley, the best of Ted Bell. We also have our legacy CDs that are there online as well, digital, as well as you can purchase the hard copy of the actual artwork, the CD case, the whole damn thing. When I was in Tampa, Bubba the Love Sponge, the great Bubba the Love Sponge, was showing me some of the merchandise he has, and he was showing me the best of CDs that he has, and he still produces them hard copy in the packaging, and they're beautiful too.
Yes, well, I saw he has a double CD, right?
He's got a double CD, and it's a beautiful thing, and on top of everything else, he's selling it like hotcakes because people like those. They're kind of mementos, you know, they're historic, and they're very cool things to have. So whatever you do, and however you do it, and for whatever reasons you do it, make sure you get yourself a Backstage Pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, here's a real weird-ass story. Dying man's eye blinks lead to Ohio murder conviction. An Ohio man was found guilty Thursday of fatally shooting a man who authorities say identified his assailant by blinking his eyes while paralyzed and hooked up to a ventilator.
Well, that's like those movies.
Yeah, a lot of movies have this kind of, this goofy kind of thing. A jury convicted Ricardo Woods, age 35, of murder and felonious assault for the death of David Chandler, who was shot October 28, 2010, as he sat in a car in Cincinnati. Police interviewed the 35-year-old Chandler after he was shot in the head and neck. He was only able to communicate with his eyes, and he died about 2 weeks later. Woods had no obvious reaction to the verdict on the third day of jury deliberation as it was read in Hamilton County Common Pleas Court, but as he was being led to jail, he said, "I'm innocent." Woods' sentencing is set for June 20th. He faces up to life in prison. During the trial, jurors viewed the videotaped police interview that prosecutors say showed Chandler blinking three times for yes to identify a photo of Woods as his shooter. The defense had tried to block the video, saying Chandler's blinks were inconsistent and unreliable. That's what I would... I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but that would be what I would think to do. You know, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but yeah, what are you talking about? Everybody knows if you blink two for yes and one for no.
What do you mean everybody knows if you blink two for yes and one for no?
Well, that's how they do in the movies.
Yeah.
Well, this ain't a movie, man. This ain't a movie, okay? What do you mean everybody knows?
That's a bargain ass.
Yes, what do you mean everybody knows?
Yeah, because that's what they do in the movies.
All right, we're going to say this again. We've already done that once, all right? And I'm telling you that while it sounds like a really good movie plot, I would, if I were the defense attorney, I'd say the same thing. What are you guys, are you high? Some guy blinking? Let's see the videotape. And you look at that, you could rip that to shreds. Rip it to shreds. So the defense has made the statement that it's inconsistent. Defense attorney Corey Jackson said Thursday there would be an appeal. We're disappointed in the verdict. We have said since the beginning that the video should not have been allowed into evidence. Jocelyn Chess, an assistant county prosecutor, said the justice was served. They looked at all the evidence, and the evidence showed that Ricardo Woods was guilty. Judge Beth Myers, who ruled the jurors could see the video, said Chandler's identification was made by pronounced exaggerated movement of the eyes. A doctor who treated Chandler later testified that Chandler was able to communicate clearly about his condition using the eyelids. So what they're saying then is that he communicated about things other than just who shot him. He communicated about things having to do with, his care.
His eyes.
Sure. What do you mean his eyes?
Yeah, what do you do? Hey, how do your eyes feel? Oh, real good, you know.
Yeah, that's stupid, man.
I didn't say about his eyes. I mean about just regular stuff. So that's why they... By the way, I read a quote today. This was stated by a murderer who was on her way to the death chamber at the time. Her name was, I think, Barbara Graham, and she was the subject of an old movie called I Want to Live. But anyway, she made the following statement. Good people are always sure they're doing the right thing. And when she made that statement, it made it into the news. And it caused a lot of people to second guess whether she was guilty or not. And when we come back, because I can hear that we're going into a commercial.
So you better think fast.
I will tell you more about what that all means right after this on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you. Harvey Wireman has joined us very briefly. I know we've got a number of things on the agenda here, but Harvey, you're also at Ted's, huh?
Yeah, I came in. I stopped in to have a late meal, and the place is pretty crowded. I just saw your friend there, Hall. He's across the way.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Harvey, and thank you very much for taking our call. I didn't know you were eating. Are we interrupting you?
No. Ted's getting me my seat. Hey, Ted, I ate him.
Hey, you but Henry's calling my... Hey, Phil.
Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Listen, all your favorite people are here tonight, huh?
You know, Ted, I want to...
He's gone now. He's gone. You want me to get him?
No, never mind. I wanted to ask him how late he serves on weeknights.
Hold on. How late do you serve, Ted?
Huh?
How late do you serve?
What?
The dinner. How late do you serve on a weeknight?
Oh, yeah. It's sort of midnight.
Midnight.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty late, isn't it?
Yeah, that's I think the thing about Ted is that he understands people are hungry all the time. He doesn't stay open, 24 hours, but... here he is again.
Yeah, give me the both of it. Hey, Phil, it's Ted.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that ran the pantry downtown Reardon, he ran for it, he became the mayor of L.A. You know, he was 24-7. That place never closed from the 30s, right, until finally they couldn't stand it any longer. And they said, would you close it, for God's sake? Just close it. Even though the food's good...
He's gone again.
What? He's just coming by and yelling into the phone.
Well, he has got a customer. Ted's always on the move, He's got...
Who are you with tonight?
I'm by myself, actually. I drove over here, because I've got a meeting in the morning in Century City, so I'm staying at the hotel over here. And here he comes, sir.
No, but what I'm saying, Phil, is you got to have, 20. So that guy wouldn't close. I said, would you close that restaurant? He said, well, the food's good. People expect it 24-7. And I said,
I'll drop my phone, okay?
What is he doing?
He's coming. When he has a minute, he comes over.
And so I told him.
Hey, Ted.
That's what they wanted to do.
Hey, Ted, don't drop my phone, okay?
I don't want to talk to him, okay? He keeps coming over, half conversation, then he runs.
Oh, that's dead. So what did you want to talk to me about?
All right, the thing I wanted to talk to you about is this case in, I believe, Cincinnati, where a man was convicted of the murder of another man on evidence given by the victim before he died. Now, the evidence was the man blinking. The evidence was delivered by way of the guy blinking because he was paralyzed.
Well, so what's your question?
I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing? And wouldn't you as a defense attorney tear into that?
Well, you're going to tear, you know, you want to do the everything that you can. But I've got a... let me read something to you. This is from a case study that I had my look. I had one of my clerks pull this out. And this is from 19... What's the one that looks like a 3? Oh, 5. 1957.
What do you mean, the one that looks like a 3?
And in the case... What'd you say?
Never mind.
And in this case, this guy's name is Boodle Boobumnu. Noobul... Newman Boodleman. I'm sorry. I got the wrong chart here. I got an African. I'm looking. I'm also had an anthropology. There's a case involving the etymology of never mind. But so this guy's name was Newton Boone Martin. And what he did was he had been shot and wasn't dead yet, and he couldn't move anything except his hand. He could flap his hand. And they said, "Who shot you?" And he batted out the guy's name in Morse code because the guy had been a signalman in the military.
Newton Boodleman.
I don't know what is. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're getting hung up on his name. He's flapping out the name of the guy by using Morse code with the right hand. And they said, okay, that's the first. The guy got out the first name, I think, was something. And the name was a big, long name, you know, like Wolfgang. And they said to him, geez, you know, what's his last name? And he got to the third letter before his hand cramped, and he couldn't move it. So they had to give him a hand massage. And then finally the name was Wolfgang Kugel is what came out. Now, I know this name, Wolfgang Kugel, because he was a partner of mine, a legal partner of mine, when I was practicing law in New York. And I said, are you sure this is the same Wolfgang Kugel that gutted and hung these people upside down in a barn? And not Ed Gein, but a similar case. And they said, well, that's what he said. And I said, I think the hand cramp, it could have been Wolfgang anything. Wolfgang, and they said, well, it starts with a K. I said, what about Wolfgang Plouderman or Kai? You know, it could be anything. So the judge said, that sounds good to me, but he didn't have anything to do with it because it was a jury trial, but the judge allowed me to say, I was allowed to say, hold that for a minute.
What are you guys talking about?
I'm on the air with Phil right now, Ted, okay?
What did he want?
I don't know. So the judge said, sounds good to me, but you better get in there because there's a jury. I said, okay, so why are we here in chambers? And he said, just, because he didn't really know. So we left, and I said to them, Wolfgang Clownhouse or something. Well, it starts with a K, and his hand cramped, and so the jury acquitted my client.
So the jury, who was your client, by the way?
My client was Wolfgang Kugel, okay? But the jury didn't buy that this guy had tapped his name out right because it was a weird name and his hand cramped up, see?
Wait a minute.
Not wait a minute. Yes.
You said you remembered who Wolfgang Kugel was because he was a former partner of yours.
Yes, and then I realized it was the guy I was defending. He was sitting right there behind me. And I went, oh, you're the guy. And
okay, thanks a lot.
Well, listen, Phil, I'd like people to join me tomorrow.
All right.
Oh, that poor man.
Oh, well, no, there's nothing poor about it. That's Harvey Wireman, ladies and gentlemen, as he's talking about whatever the hell he's talking about. All right.
Well, what's he talking about?
Wolfgang Kugel shot some guy, and the guy's hand batted out the name Wolfgang in Morse code, but he only got halfway out with the second name because the hand cramped up. I don't know. Now, moving on, I wanted to mention this one quote. Good people often think they're doing the right thing. And this was a quote. This was the last thing said by Barbara Graham before they put her in the gas chamber in California, and rightfully so. She was a sadistic, dirty, filthy old murdering woman that suddenly got a lot of public opinion behind her because, oh, well, you know, she's a wronged woman, and what a tough life she had and all this. What fed a lot of this was this marvelous quote that was recorded by a writer who went on to write the story of her life, I Want to Live. And he said that the last thing she said was, good people often think they're doing good things or the right thing. Good people often think they're doing good things. Now, I got to thinking about that, you know, especially when it comes to the law. I thought, good people don't often think they're doing good things. Good people often think they're doing the wrong thing. If you think about it.
No, I don't understand.
If you're good people, the kind of good people that I know are people that are always second-guessing themselves. They're always wondering, are they doing the right thing or the wrong thing? They're always worried. Are they serving the cause of justice? They're always, second-guessing. For instance, in our system of law, there's this thing called reasonable doubt. Why? Because we're never sure. We're never really sure. If good people are never really convinced they're absolutely right, this is the absolute truth, when it comes to the life of somebody, you know, when it comes to this kind of a thing, that's why we allow for this thing called reasonable doubt, because a human being who is trying to do the right thing, who has a conscience, who is wants to make sure that they're serving the interest of justice, they're always going to have some kind of a doubt. So that's why we have this idea of reasonable doubt. You know, and we give ourselves the leeway of well, we're going to have doubts, but at the end of the day, we're as close as we're going to get to the truth. And I thought, boy, how can you get conned by a statement like that when somebody says good people often think they're doing good things? Good people don't often think they're doing good things. Good people often think they're doing the wrong thing. Good people often think they're making mistakes, you know?
Well, I mean, so are you saying a bad people?
You're saying that bad people often think they're doing good things.
I'm saying it's more likely that a bad person is sure of themselves than a good person. A bad person, i.e., let's say a psychopath, is absolutely convinced he's right. Oh, well, I mean, this guy, he'd never been wrong. He's right. He's convinced that he's right. And, you know, so I that's why I think a lot of people have a problem with religion. Because religion is one of those absolutes. And it gets down to the discussion, which, by the way, it says here, Pat Robertson, cheating is natural for men. And I'm looking at Stephanie Miller. Didn't she...
Don't start criticizing her lesbianic.
I'm not. I'm just saying she came out. She sure is a beautiful woman for, well, anyway.
She's a beautiful woman for a lesbian. What a heinous thing to say, Phil.
Yeah, you're saying all lesbians gotta look hanky?
No, I didn't say that at all. Just that Stephanie is, she's fine. All right, now, having said what I just said,
Well, you don't have to be her sugar daddy. She makes a lot of money.
I'm not looking to be anybody's. Thank you very much. So anyway, make a long story short. The bad person, or shall we say the psychopath, they're often the one that believes they're right. They're absolutely convinced they're right, and everybody else is wrong. So the next time you consider the idea that good people believe that they're doing good things, think again, because I believe that it's quite the opposite. And there you go. I'm Phil Hendry. Thank you, Harvey Wireman, for your needless opinion. And thank you, Ted Bell, for interrupting beaucoup times, Jack, as I was trying to get my fang, you know, unfanged. All right, we'll be back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. The story I've been wanting to get to here, Pat Robertson, which we just alluded to. Pat Robertson made some pretty asinine statements, and I'm telling you, some real weird stuff he got said on his show today, yesterday, whenever the hell it was. We'll be back to talk about it. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Bad people often think that they're bad.
Yeah, they think they're badass.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm going to roll some audio. This is Pat Robertson on his 700 Club show, and basically what happened was he, you know, was responding to a letter from someone asking about a husband that's cheating, and wait till you hear the advice this guy, I don't know, maybe some of you guys may think this is cool, but here's the whole segment.
Ivy writes in and says, I've been trying to forgive my husband for cheating on me. We've gone to counseling, but I just can't seem to forgive, nor can I trust. How do you let go of anger, and how do you trust again? God says to forgive, but it's been so hard to do. I want to forgive so we can get on with our lives.
So what do you think?
Well, that's what a good question. You think? I think forgiveness can be one of the most difficult things in the whole wide world to do, and especially when it comes to a spouse, because that's one of the ultimate betrayals.
All right, here's the secret.
Okay.
And this is the secret.
Yeah, thanks for asking her.
Stop talking about the cheating. He cheated on you. Well, he's a man. Okay. So what you do is begin to focus on why you married him in the first place, on what he does good. Does he provide a home for you to live in? Does he provide food for you to eat? Does he provide clothes for you to wear? Is he nice to the children? Do you have a happy family? Does he take the kids to sporting events?
No, because he's screwed around on her.
Games?
No.
Does he share with you stuff that's going on?
Stuff that's going on, yeah.
Is he handsome?
Banged a stripper.
Is he, you know, what is it?
Is he handsome?
Start focusing on those things and essentially fall in love with him all over again. And I recommend you reach out and touch him. Touch his face. Touch his face.
His penis.
Hold his hand. Look into his eyes. Talk to him. But it's you, you're praying, oh, God, keep me not to hate him for what he did when he was with that stripper in that hotel room 10 years ago, and I'll never forgive him kind of thing. Please help me. So what are you focusing on? You're focusing on the thing that makes you mad. Stop that. Start focusing on the good stuff. And he must have something good or you wouldn't have married him.
So he did, and then he had sex with a stripper.
Give him honor.
So that's kind of, we don't have to hear any more of this drivel. That's Pat Robertson. Now, the guy is, Pat Robertson's sort of...
That man should be put in prison for those comments. Not because he deserves prison, but I think that just a year in prison at the hands of a good, strong, sturdy sex offender.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about him getting...
As a bunkmate, I think we'll open his eyes and a few other things.
Oh, man.
All right, Margaret, we get it.
That is disgusting.
All right. So there's Pat Robertson. Now, this guy, Robertson, has been noted for a number of things. A lot of people like him, and that's okay. You can like the guy, and guess what? He's got a TV show. And guess what else? He's a preacher. So put it all together, and what do you got? You still got just some guy with a pulpit that's running his yap, and you can listen or you don't have to listen. The reason why everybody makes a big deal out of this guy, he says some pretty nutty things, and he says those things so that he can, I think, keep people watching him, but also because he's a guy from a bygone era. Now, this is the same guy who said that the conservative, that the 9/11 attacks and Hurricane Katrina were because of gay people and a non-Christian society. He also predicted the end of the world, and he was wrong. So, you know, the guy is, he ain't much of anything when it comes to predicting things. So he's on this TV show, and he's saying, stop talking about the cheating, because you should focus on the good stuff. In other words, the guy is doling out this advice that's real antiquated stuff, but he's doing it on this national platform, and they're afraid people are going to believe him, and they're going to follow his advice.
Well, and they are going to believe him and follow his advice, don't you think?
I don't think so.
Wait a minute. This guy's Pat Robertson. He's one of the top people that in the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, he's one of the top Christianity people.
He may be one of the top Christianity people, but I don't think Christians today under the age of 112 will listen to this old fool and take anything from him other than, a pat on the ass if they needed it, which is kind of weird.
Well, what would they take? You're saying no Christian will take this man seriously.
I don't think any Christian under the age of 100, yeah. I think a lot of the old school people sit there and cluck their tongues and go, right on, Pat, you know. and none of them have sex anymore, nor do they cheat on their spouses because their spouses are dead. So they're not cheating on anything other than their right hand. And
I'm kidding.
But, you know, the point, I think the larger point I'm making is true. The guy has no influence. And so I wouldn't sweat the small stuff with Pat Robertson. There's going to be people that are going to say, oh, yeah, I dig that. But they've always dug everything he said. They agree with him about Katrina. They agree with him about 9/11. They agree with him about everything, you know. And then the ones that don't dig him have all the more reason not to. So, you know.
Phil, I think he's a very dangerous man. I think that Pat Robertson cuts the figure of a rather benign grandfatherly type. The gold tie, the black jacket, the set with the books. It makes him appear as if he is sitting in a very expensive hotel lobby waiting for, I don't know what. What do you think he's waiting for, Bud?
I don't know.
How about a prostitute?
No, not a prostitute. I think he's waiting for the angel of death.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's waiting on death.
And so to bide his time and to kill time, he gives drooling, imbecilic advice.
Just to anybody that passes by?
To anyone that passes by.
All right, well, that further reinforces what I'm saying.
Which is what?
Which is the guy is full of it, has nothing really sound to say. Anybody with any sound thinking, anybody with any, you know, brains is going to think the guy is a mess, and they're not going to listen to him. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Well, I know, but what about the fact he's sitting in an expensive hotel lobby?
What has that got to do with anything, Margaret?
All right, don't yell.
No, I mean, you know, if he's sitting in an expensive hotel lobby and he's drooling along to any stranger that walks by, that further reinforces what I'm saying. He's a blithering idiot. You know, he's a blithering idiot with like a really huge base of television stations and satellite dishes. And yeah, there's going to be some people that take him seriously. But I'm here to tell you, anybody that takes this guy seriously or anybody that agrees with what this guy says needs to visit a psychiatrist soon, like tomorrow morning. That's what I think. Sitting in an expensive hotel lobby.
But he's babbling.
Yes, he's babbling. I agree. But, you know, all right, we're coming back next hour. World famous Phil Hendry Show with more on this Lindsay Lohan losing 5 pounds in rehab story. That's a really... Why do we want to read that thing?
I don't know. That's the next thing that's coming up.
We'll be back with more. Phil Hendry Show. I don't care about Lindsay Lohan losing...
Well, I better not say.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we're very grateful that you've joined us. We're online at philhendryshow.com. Get that backstage pass or get gone, baby. You've got to have the BSP or it ain't you and me. You've got to be free with a BSP or, you know, where it's...
You can't even rhyme free.
No, I can't. That's it. I hit the limit on my rhyme.
Now, this is the Lindsay Lohan story.
I know.
But it's about weight, and I'm asking you to be very delicate about this.
No, I understand that. I understand that. I've had conversations, in fact, over the last couple of days with someone who I very care very much for and care very much about. And she has had an anorexic episode here over the last, I'd say, 6-7 months, maybe. Maybe not that much. And I said, wow. I said, what caused that? She said, I didn't feel safe. I didn't. A lot of psychological stuff. And then she said the thing, remember, Bud, what was the word?
Yeah, she said about everybody, when they look in a mirror, okay, then they see themselves coming back at them.
Oh, God, what does he mean? God, what does he mean?
All right, hold on for a minute, Margaret.
Every time you ask him...
Hold on. What do you mean, bud?
Well, she used that word that I can't transmutation.
Yeah, I know what it is. It's everybody experiences a body morphing or something like that.
No, the word is mutators.
Well, there's a word for it, okay? Aren't you guys just totally prepared?
Well, you brought it up.
Well, you're right. There is a word for when you look in the mirror and you see what isn't there. You see a fat person when, in fact, there is a skinny person. Now, this is not a hallucination. We're talking about, it's a delusion, but it's not a hallucination. You're not talking about a schizophrenic frame of mind. You're not talking about someone whose reality is fractured. You're talking about something specific to anorexia where the body doesn't look the way it actually does. To you, it looks ugly, fat, or misshapen, or somehow not that ideal that you want it to be, where other people see a perfectly normal person, a perfectly acceptable, and perhaps even a very well-put-together person, you see this person that isn't right. And so hence begins the process among anorexics of losing weight and an inordinate amount of weight. Now we come to Lindsay Lohan, and guess what they're talking about? They're talking about her putting weight on.
Yes, and this is my pet peeve. When you have a young woman, and a lot of young women who are losing weight because of the anorexia nervosa, okay, a lot of people forget to add that on, anorexia nervosa.
What's that mean?
It means that the nervosa, what do you think nervosa means?
Think about it, bud.
Well, it means nervosa. Is it Italian?
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Let's take it easy, Margaret.
Oh.
Take it easy.
I need water.
Go get some water.
I'll get you some water, Ms. Gray.
Oh.
What's wrong with her?
Nothing. Nervosa, bud, is nervous. It's probably Latin. You're close. And it means that this is a nervous condition, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. But now here's Lindsay Lohan. She's gained 5 pounds since entering rehab. Oh! The Mean Girl star is reportedly packing on the pounds after doctors took away her Adderall. Oh, man, that's packing the pounds on, isn't it? Adderall, a drug used to treat ADHD, is commonly misused among adults as an appetite suppressant. Lindsay Lohan's 5-pound weight gain comes after an extremely emotional week and is finding comfort in food. Lindsay can't stop eating and has gained 5 pounds. Are you reading this reporting, ladies? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is Amanda Scheffler for TheExaminer.com. She's the celebrity reporter, and let's make damn sure that Lindsay Lohan knows that she's packing it on by putting on 5 pounds so that she can have a nice, healthy relapse, maybe Coke, booze, whatever. She's been exercising, but just doesn't have a lot of energy because she's no longer taking Adderall, which is a psychostimulant medication that contains amphetamine. She's been talking to a nutritionist at Betty Ford about eating healthier, an insider revealed. Lindsay Lohan has been looking a bit too thin as of late, and putting on a little weight wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the... Well, there you go. However, if she can learn to get her issues under control and get back to being the talented, focused actress that fans remember, then that'll be even really cool. What are your thoughts on Lindsay Lohan gaining 5 pounds? My thoughts are this. I think she's fine. I think she's doing great. I think her father is a piece of garbage. I think her mother's weird. I think you people in the press are going to kill her before you make her better. I think she's one of the more beautiful women out there, in my opinion. I think she looks great with a few pounds on her. I think her ass looks great with 5 extra pounds on her.
Oh, my God. You didn't say what I heard you say.
Yes, I did.
When you say to a woman that your ass looks great with 5 extra, do you know what happens? Then we start to eat, and the ass just starts to run. The ass gets away from you. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the idea the ass gets away from you, huh?
Yes, it does.
Well, as long as it doesn't get away from us, the men of the species, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? I think your pornographe, which is a pornography in
let me guess, French?
Yes. Your pornography way of articulating yourself, Phil, is a disgustment. A disgustment. You see?
You know, I think you're making these words up.
No, I know you think that, but I'm not. I'm trying to put a little erudition into this program, which is seriously lacking in it. Your pornographe, along with the disgustment that I feel, causes... What, bud?
Causes a regurgitate.
Are you... Is he getting any kind of outpatient therapy?
All right. Regurgitate?
Yeah.
There. Does that answer your question?
Come here, bud. I just saw something on your nose.
Ah, yeah. What a... That's dirty pool.
Worked, though, didn't it?
All right. I don't like that.
Well, you do it.
I just think that Bud needed to be whacked around a little bit. We don't have to keep doing it as a joke. So the bottom line on all of this, in my opinion, which is very unhealthy, is this chick with this booze problem, coke problem, every other kind of problem, now they take her off the ADHD medication, which is Adderall. Now they've got her on to something else. Now she was losing too much weight. Now she's putting 5 pounds on. Now they're driving her nuts. And I think the time has come, folks, for us to say the following thing, and I think it's a good thing. And I may be the only man saying this in America today. Eat, ladies. Just have yourself a meal. Have a meal. Have at it. Have a nice, big, fat meal. Okay? A lot of you women who tend to be thin, and you can eat anything, you'll find that as life goes along, you'll suddenly, you know, your ass will start getting larger, and you'll worry about that, but you shouldn't. Just eat. And forget about what they're saying about Lindsay Lohan, who they're trying to kill, I think. I think the celebrity media wants her to die, and I think they want her to die in a very, exciting way, like a car crash that leads to an explosion, you know. I don't know.
What about like Marilyn Monroe, where it slides under the ass, well, I shouldn't say the ass end of a tanker truck?
Yeah, they'd like that. Lindsay Lohan... You know, Lindsay, if you can accommodate the celebrity media, how about if your car slides underneath the trailer of a large 16-wheeler and explodes? How about if your car goes off a cliff? How about if you OD? OD, that's not sexy. How about if you... Because I'm telling you, that's what they want you to do. What do you think about Lindsay Lohan? Is she this or is she that? Did she do that or did she do this? Is her life out of control? Maybe. I ain't blaming you guys necessarily in the celebrity media, but I am saying without any... doubt. You want her to die, and you want her to die so it sells a few thousand more of whatever it is you're selling, man. I'm telling you. That's why that guy, what's his name? Clooney? George Clooney. He blamed the press for the death of Princess Diana. It might have been a little bit of a stretch, but who was chasing her ass down that through that tunnel the night she died? A whole bunch of jackballs on motorcycles with cameras, and you talk about a bunch of guys that look silly. They're all double, they're tandem on these motorcycles. One guy with camera, another guy just riding the bike. There's about 16 of them. They look about...
gay.
Yeah. As you want. And, you know, the end result was that crash. Tragic? Yes. Could it have been avoided? Yes. Was the guy drunk that was driving Princess Diana? Yes. Was Princess Diana? I don't know. Was the guy that she's dating? I don't know. Is our next story about Wonder Woman? Yes, it is. Are you going to want to hear this story? Probably. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. Yes. Is the Wonder Phil Woman Hendry Show.
Yes. Is Wonder Woman going to be on Amazon?
Let me give an update here. I just saw this on our Facebook page. We got an update here from one of our listeners, Aurora, and it's about that guy, the internet celebrity hitchhiker with the hatchet. Remember that guy?
That's the sort of the weirdo.
Right. Well, weirdo. He was the dude. He was a homeless hitchhiker who achieved internet celebrity by acting as a good Samaritan with a hatchet. He's been arrested at a Philadelphia bus depot on Thursday in connection with the murder of a New Jersey attorney.
Is that the guy that he saved the life of?
No, totally different story. Caleb Lawrence McGilvery, age 24, known on Facebook and YouTube as Kale the Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker, is facing a murder charge in Union County, New Jersey, authorities said. McGilvery was arrested Thursday evening at the Greyhound Terminal in Philadelphia by Philadelphia police after New Jersey authorities issued a public call for help in finding him, according to Union County Prosecutor Theodore J. Romankow. Boy, the guy's internet celebrity most likely got him caught. I'm grateful for the overwhelming response and dedicated effort by the public and law enforcement that led to this arrest, Romankow said in a statement. I believe that everyone is a little safer with this person off the streets. This guy saved somebody's life, and now he turns around, you know.
Well, he was a little squirrely, you know.
Yeah, the guy definitely on the squirrely side.
Well, because a guy's squirrely doesn't mean he's a murderer. I mean, in this case, it doesn't necessarily mean he's a murderer either. I mean, this is what they've arrested him for. How do we know he did it?
Oh, Phil, don't give me that whole innocent and I believe in innocent until guilty, yes. But...
Yeah, the guy was on a squirrely side of life.
What does squirrely mean? What does that mean?
Just acting squirrely, acting like,
He acted a little hinky, as they say, you know.
Hinky? That's about as clear as squirrely. You mean the guy was different? The guy was different. I'll give you that the guy was different. I'll give you that the guy was really different, you know. He's a very different guy, and that doesn't make him a murderer. Now, I know the prosecutor thinks he is, and maybe he is, but do you mind?
Bill, you were the one that was saying we should have our opinions, and now you're saying that we can't have our opinions. You lie, you...
Take it easy. Oh, she's going to the bathroom.
I can't take it anymore.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I'm giving my opinion. Everybody else around here has an opinion. All right, so he was arrested, and the New Jersey Union County prosecutor says we're all safe with this guy off the streets. Earlier on Thursday, Romankow acknowledged the internet fame surrounding McGilvery, who is credited with saving two lives in California. He said this man was well known. That doesn't mean he did not or could not become involved in a crime. We believe he has murdered someone, an attorney, by the way, who was in the county, well-respected, well-regarded for over 40 years. As far as we're concerned, I don't care who he is. We're looking for him, the prosecutor said. Well, all right. McGilvery is wanted in the death of attorney Joseph Gaffey Jr. I think that's what the name is. Joseph Golfy Jr., authorities said. McGilvery and, what is it? And Golfy exchanged text messages over the last few days. It's more like, come pick me up and I'll be there at this time, Romankow said, but not anything of a personal nature. But investigators believe McGilvery and Golfy had a sexual relationship. Aha!
I love the way you did that.
Oh, you're back, huh?
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah, you all go had a sexual relationship. You know.
Okay. Let's get Jeff Dowder is on the line with us, who was, I think, familiar with this story. Are you at Ted's, too?
Yeah, I'm just having a burger over here at the grill. Hi, Mr. Bell. This guy, McGilvery, what I've been called in to comment on it because I've done hitchhiking in various parts of the country, but I've never carried a hatchet and I never saved anybody's life, but I never murdered anybody anyway. This guy, having a sexual relationship with an attorney, I mean, why'd you ask me to come on here?
Because you commented on this story the first time. Because of your hitchhiking experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, based upon my hitchhiking experience, I guess the guy's gay. I mean...
Well said, Jeff. I don't know why you've got him on either.
Yeah, based upon my hitchhiking experience...
All right, Jeff, I'm sorry. You had commented before. You don't want to comment now?
No. Based upon my hitchhiking experience, this guy's as queer as a $3 bill. Are you happy?
Hey, Phil, is that you?
Yeah, Ted.
Hey, listen... Your friend here, Dowder, I set him up here at the grill, but I told him I don't want him in here anymore. You know, you understand, Jeff.
Yeah, I understand. I don't care if I come back here. I don't like the food anyway.
Well, you know what? The food, don't... Hey. Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, you dirty...
Well, Ted's very protective of his reputation.
Well, he may well be, but as soon as he found out... First of all, if he doesn't like Jeff Dowder, I guess he ought to just escort him out of the place and not have him in there in the first place. moving back to this story, Roman Cow didn't know why the two men were in contact with each other. Investigators don't know what the motive was for the murder, but they know that the two men were together on Sunday evening. Golfy was found dead on Monday morning in his Clark bedroom, wearing only underwear and socks. He was severely beaten. There's some indication of a sexual relationship having to do with their communications on Facebook. McGilvery received national attention after CNN affiliate KMPH interviewed him about a February hitchhiking experience in which he used a hatchet to subdue the driver who claimed to be Jesus and struck a utility worker with his car, then grabbed a woman as she provided help at the scene in Fresno, California. Roman Cow said Thursday that McGilvery has been known to use the back end of a hatchet a few times, the back end of the hatchet being the flat, blunt end, not the business end, as they say. The utility worker underwent surgery for non-threatening injuries, and the driver, who stood more than 6 feet tall and weighed at least 300 pounds, was arrested, according to the affiliate. With long hair sweeping out of a bandana, McGilvery provided a dramatic account of the rescue and gestured how he wielded the hatchet against the rampaging motorist in a smash, smash, smash manner, he told the affiliate. He spoke in the patois, as they say, of a surfer. I like that word, P-A-T-O-I-S, the patois.
Now, patois is like an accent, much like, but a dialect, not dialect, but a, yes, a dialect accent, you see, the patois. See, this is French. This is my thing. Okay, Phil?
Fine. I got it. The patois. That's the way Jeff Dowder talks.
Yeah, Jeff Dowder talks in a patois, too.
Yeah, whatever. The female bystander, apparently not injured, confirmed the incident in an interview with KMPH. McGilvery's Facebook page said, his Facebook page. Is this his or is it a fan page?
I think it's like a fan page that started for him.
It says, Cal saved a woman's life by cleaving a man in the head with a hatchet after he had just hit someone with his car. McGilvery's story was featured on the Colbert Report and Jimmy Kimmel Live. I don't think they'll be having him on after this murder rap, though. The murder charge against him comes... carries a bail, rather, of $3 million. Gelfi lived alone, and he wasn't married, had no children. McGilvery also goes by the names Cal Lawrence, Caleb Cal Lawrence, and Cal Nicodemus. He has cut his hair to alter his appearance and was last seen at a light rail station in Haddonfield, New Jersey. McGilvery is homeless but calls himself home free. Authorities believe that McGilvery relies on the generosity of strangers for food, lodging, and transportation. He is considered to be armed and dangerous. Now, have they picked this guy up? Oh, he's been arrested. Okay. So that was the last statement there. So, yeah, while the guy has this marvelous celebrity and all, he's still a dude to be... dude needs to be reckoned with.
Yeah, dude, you know, dude...
is dangerous.
Yeah, dude's dangerous.
All right, dude's dangerous. Now we've got that. And he's in custody.
Yes, he is.
And I think it's sad that he's a Californian.
I guess he is a Californian, yeah. He's a Californian who is home free. Yeah, I'll say he's home free. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Home free, baby.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Got 98 likes on that baby, huh?
Well, so.
I mean, this was that post I made that Margaret took great exception to about. You know, one thing, I'm old and getting older, but the last bitch that tried to play me as some kind of sugar daddy is checking back into her waitress job right about now. Honey, that's who you're going to wind up with, a waiter, which I really believe. You know, because if she comes up with an act like that with me and any other guy, see, she told me the last guy she was with, she lived with for 4 years. The guy was an attorney, and that she left the guy because he was, quote, emotionally unavailable. I said, I didn't tell her this, but I thought to myself, yeah. You know what? I bet you he threw your ass out.
Well, that's more likely.
Yes. Pitched her ass in the street. Anyway, as I was saying, just that little, you know, little blurb there got me like 98, 99 likes, man. So people like me, you know? And that's what it's all about on Facebook. Okay. Don't forget our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Little business to attend to. Number one, our last show is on the 24th of June with the Talk Radio Network people. And then we are going to take a week off. And then we're going to launch into a new venture. What that venture will be, at present time, we are still formulating. Will we launch into the terrestrial yet again? Will we launch into the satellite? Will we launch?
Why are you making noises like that? It's frightening me, Phil.
Why don't you just take the night off, huh?
No, I'm not going to take the night. Would you go, you launch? It makes me think that you're having a seizure.
Yeah, you always think everybody has a seizure when they act unusual.
Yeah, you don't like people to be weird, you know?
Who does?
I don't care. I mean, I don't care who does or who doesn't, but I'm weird and I act weird, and you're just going to have to get used to that. Everybody's got to get used. If anybody's around me, I'm a weird ass, okay? I act weird and I do weird things. No, I don't go into character when I'm, you know, with my friends. No, I don't do funny voices, but I'm just a weird ass. That's how it is. That's the way it's always going to be. Sorry. So getting back to what I was saying, we don't know what that's going to be, but it's going to be something really groovy. And, you know, I just for me, folks, if I'm going to continue to do radio, I got to continue to enjoy what I'm doing. And I do not enjoy what I'm doing if I'm doing what everybody else does. So this show is going to continue to be weird. It's going to continue to have strange aspects to it. It's going to continue to be contrary. It's probably going to piss a lot of people off. It's probably never going to get the respect it deserves from the radio establishment, which I've already, you know, and the people and the suits. And I don't care. I got to have some fun. I got to enjoy my life. That's just the way things are going to be. So as of the 1st of July, which I believe is 1 week after we do our last show, the 1st of July, and then, of course, we're going to take time off for the 4th of July. One of the things that we're going to be doing a lot of is taking time off. No, I'm kidding. But one of the things that I am going to be doing is I'm going to be sculpting out for myself, you know, a certain amount of time off during the year so we don't have to keep running into all these problems we have doing like voiceover jobs or the odd TV job, things like that. So we'll just take certain, you know, weeks off and get all that stuff done. But on the 1st of July, we will, you know, enter into venture number two. Now, I'm going to have a lot to say on the website about certain issues that I'm not going to go into on the air. But I'm going to have a lot to say. And you see, we have taken the high road in certain matters, and some people have decided that they want to take the opportunity to spin things in an untruthful way. So I'm going to be on my website clarifying some things. That's number one. Number two, there's a certain amount of business that is going to have to be transacted having to do with this radio show, and that might get a little ugly. We'll see. We'll see. But through it all, I would just as soon have everything be chill and I don't want to get so specific, but I just want people to know that there are, as always, there's some wars to be won. There's some battles to be fought and there's some wars to be won. But as of the 24th, that will be our last show for Talk Radio Network. 6 years we've been with this company, and it's time to turn that page, baby, and move on. All right, Wonder Woman prequel, Amazon being redeveloped. Now, dig this. The CW is still holding a spot for Amazon, set to follow the origin story of Wonder Woman's alter ego, Diana of Themyscira. Do you know this?
I don't. Why would I know it?
Well, it says about an Amazon.
And what, you know what I ought to reach?
Hey, take it easy, man.
And I'm not a man. You know, just be every story you get about an Amazon, you look me up and down.
I'm not looking you up and down, Margaret. And what, however many stories do we get on Amazons?
You were talking about Amazon. All right, so it was the website, but I'm talking...
Ah, the website. You got to be putting me on. Not talk about a big lady. Talk about where you buy a book.
Yeah, that's what all Amazon...
I know what Amazon.com is. I'm saying, every time you mention Amazon...
Well, Margaret, yeah, it's not. You're not tall. I don't think of you as an Amazon. Maybe you're a little, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you're a little bit uptight about that kind of thing.
Well, look at this. Who's this woman they have on? This hydroxy cut, I'm going to write to them if I see one more commercial of some housewife with a big rear end who thinks she's skinny. I'm going to scream.
What's wrong? You know, you really are hooked into the whole skinny chick thing, aren't you? You really think that either the women are skinny, and if they're not, there's something wrong.
Yes, I think you should be thin, and I don't think you should celebrate the big end.
The what?
You heard me.
Wonder Woman, I'm going to start this all over again. Is this ain't about you, it's about this story. The CW is still holding a spot for Amazon, set to follow the origin story of Wonder Woman's alter ego, Diana of Themyscira. The DC Comics adaptation didn't get a pilot order this past season, and the network is holding out for a new script. Dig that. CW President Mark Padowitz, or Pedowitz, well, maybe it's better said the other way, Padowitz told reporters that bringing the series to air is still a priority. He noted original writer Alan Heinberg of Grey's Anatomy was no longer working on the rewrite. Replacing him is Aaron Eli Collett of Heroes. Oh, hey, by the way, we got rid of that Grey's Anatomy guy, and we have a new writer. It is being redeveloped. We're waiting for the script to come in. We haven't seen it yet, Pedowitz said. In the meantime, the development team is busy casting Diana. We do not want to produce something that doesn't work for that particular character. It is the trickiest of all the DC characters to get done, he said. Well, isn't that something? How do you know, man?
You know, you're talking about someone that you could work for someday.
I have to be true to my, you know, original calling as a talk show host. So if I'm going to work for that guy someday, I hope you understand, Mr. Padowitz, that I still have to trash and bash and smash your work on air. All right. The Amazon origin story of Diana Prince would be set in the present day instead of the character's original World War II era origin. Entertainment Weekly reported a casting call that described a heroine from a secluded country where she was raised as a soldier in a brutal environment but goes on to a strange modern big city to fight to save the world. In 2011, NBC passed on a version of the series with Adrian Palicki attached to star. In 2005, Warner Brothers announced Joss Whedon would write and direct a film adaptation of the 75-79 Linda Carter television series, but the project never moved ahead. Wow. Why don't they ever move ahead, Margaret?
Well, what is he laughing at?
You're going, why don't they ever move ahead?
Yeah, I'll tell it all.
Would you?
All right, take it easy.
Everything with him is dirt.
Why do networks, or in this case, why did this film company, having hired a director, set to film an adaptation of what was a very popular TV series, 75 through 79, I mean, you know,
Did you ever watch it?
I never watched Wonder Woman. I watched Wonder Woman to just check her out, like most guys did, but this show, I could care.
Well, what does that mean?
You know, he's watched to see how big her boobs is.
Oh.
Well, Margaret, are you kidding me? Yeah, of course I did. I watched Wonder Woman to check her out. By the way, this is very funny to me. Wonder Woman, whoever that woman was, Carter, is that her name, Linda Carter? She had a sister who did an exercise show.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. She wore a dress or a skirt?
Yeah, she wore a skirt. This was Linda Carter's sister, and she did some kind of an exercise show in the morning, a morning exercise show, I swear to God. And, I think it was like a Christian exercise show. That's it. And because it was a Christian exercise show, she couldn't just wear the tights because that would show her ass and her legs and everything. So she had to wear this skirt over the tights.
Well, I don't think it was so much because of the Christian.
Well, what was it?
Well, why do you think women would wear a skirt over tights?
Oh, was she fat?
A little bit.
You can't say that. She was on a Christian network, and that's probably on account of they wanted to cover the butt up.
Maybe they did, and maybe they didn't. The point that I'm trying to make is, my informants, my sources tell me she had a butt on her that wouldn't stop.
And so that's why they put this skirt on her.
That's probably why they did, yeah.
Well, if it was a, was it a Christian channel?
I believe it was, yes.
All right, well, then it still works the other way. Were they going to let her wear tights?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I haven't checked with the Christian handbook on programming exercise show. What are you...
Well, I mean, the point is, is it reasonable to expect a Christian network doing an exercise show in the morning, is it reasonable that they would allow to their host of the show to be seen in that kind of tight-fitting outfit?
I think if she were slender enough and that the tights, if she was slender enough so that the tights were a little baggy.
So that the tights were baggy?
Yes.
That means she's got nervosa.
What did he say?
I think Bud's right. He says that would mean she would be unhealthily thin.
Well, I don't know, Phil. I'm just saying, if you want to do an exercise show on a Christian network and you want to wear tights, you better get a girl into those tights where they sag off the butt. And have you ever seen girls that try to wear tight pants? And
yeah, and yes, it doesn't look healthy. They look too skinny. They look too thin. And so if that's what you're telling me, the Christian channel is going to let the be on the... Rather than show a woman with a big ass or show a woman in tights, they'd rather have some girl who looks like she's got anorexia? I don't think that that's right. And I think that...
Well, that's my understanding.
You know, I think what you say is not true. I think just because you're anti-Christian, that's what you're saying.
I'm not anti-Christian at all. I'm an atheist, yes. But I'm not anti-Christian. I'm a liberal atheist. What's wrong with that? I'm an East Coast liberal atheist.
Yeah, but that's because you try to make everything...
Would you stop talking like you're yelling, Robert? I can't hear you.
Step up to the microphone, Robert.
I'm saying because she's anti-Christian. She wants to make a modest woman look stupid.
I'm not trying to make a modest woman look stupid. I'm trying to say that any woman in tights where it sags off the butt... Have you ever seen butt sag?
I have. I've seen the butt sag on a number of occasions.
Yes, I've seen what you call butt sag, yes.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I mean when there's butt sag, when the sagging tight, when the tight is not sucked up tight.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Okay.
What are you laughing at?
The fact that he even understood what it was you were talking about, I find funny. But, okay, you got...
Yes, that's what I mean is unhealthy.
All right. Let's take a break now that we've established that. And I still don't know if that show was on. I think I'm going to look into it here when we go to the break. We'll be right back. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show online at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I did. Linda Carter's sister is named Pamela Carter, and Pamela did, in fact, have an exercise video and did some exercise kind of thing, and she's a smaller woman than her sister. She's a bit shorter, but kind of built the same way. When I say that, I don't mean built the same way. They are very much sisters. They have the same dark hair and dark complexion, and they're both kind of big chicks. I mean, I don't know how to put it any other way, but her sister is slightly shorter than her, and she did do a exercise video.
Now, where did you see this?
Well, I liked it. I think it was on a Christian channel, and my sister Joanne was laughing about it. She said, "Have you seen Linda Carter's sister?" I said, "No." She said, "You got to check her out on this channel. It's hysterical." I said, "Well, what's she doing?" She says, "She's doing an exercise video, and she looks ridiculous in this dress as she's doing it." And I said, "Well, you know, I didn't say well. I was laughing along with her, although, you know, I'm trying to make myself look better by saying that I didn't, but I did."
Well, just tell us the truth, Mr. Hendry. We don't want a lot of embellishment.
Yeah, just the truth, just the facts.
The facts are these. My sister Joanne said, "Have you seen this Linda Carter's sister?" I said, "No." "Well, you ought to watch it because you'll laugh yourself sick. You'll laugh until you soil yourself." And I went, "That's a hell of a thing for my sister to say." "I'm kidding. No, she didn't."
What are these notes?
Never mind. She didn't say that. So I did. And it was kind of funny because the lady's all hopping around this stage and she's doing her thing. All right. One final little note here. I thought this was an interesting article that I came across. Prison for Madoff. You know, have I told you guys that my new favorite channel when it comes to... They do videos on criminal... They do videos on white-collar crime the way Investigation Discovery does on other kinds of crime. And it's CNBC. And they've got a few of them. American Greed, Scams. They do a few, and I think they're great. Stacey Keach... the actor who's been of stage and screen is the narrator, and it's tremendous stuff, and I recommended it. I recommend it. And they did one on Bernard Madoff, which was really the whole history of this thing, man. And Madoff is just a textbook. If every time we talk about psychopath, you know, every time we say this guy's a psychopath, that guy, if you want a classic textbook example, it's Bernard Madoff. The guy is doesn't show any emotions at all. He doesn't even really cop to the fact that he did anything. He knows he did stuff wrong, but the thing that he did wrong the most was he got himself in trouble. That's what he did wrong. He doesn't give a crap about anybody that he hurt. He doesn't even care about his wife and his sons. He didn't care about that. I mean, he does to the extent that it affects him, you know. According to this article, though, this is a prison exclusive. Madoff, the king of thieves. Bernard Madoff once had billions of dollars, but now he makes $40 a month doing menial prison labor. I used to work as a clerk in the commissary, and now they have me taking care of the telephone and the computer system, said Madoff, speaking by phone from a federal prison in North Carolina. His prison phone account didn't have any money in it, so he had to call CNN Money. Collect. Dig that. This guy was the president of NASDAQ at one time. A big money guy, all kinds of big money clients. And now the dude, and they're still reporting on him in the financial press, CNN Money, but he's got to call these cats collect from prison. Woo!
Well, you sound like you're almost celebrating this man's...
Why not?
I think it's sad.
Oh, get out of here, will you, Margaret? Just for once, resist the temptation to try to make a headline by taking the contrary point of view and just go along with everybody else. The guys, where are you going?
I'm not going to be talked to like that.
Look at, see, every time, man.
You ought to fire her, man. I don't know why you have her on this show.
Wait a minute. I'm coming back. What did you say?
Nothing.
I'll be in the bathroom.
You'll be in the bathroom. Yeah, you didn't have to say that. We knew you'd be in the bathroom.
I'm sorry?
Never mind. Sad. As far as the computer and phones go, Madoff said he has to make sure that they're working and they're kept clean, but he emphasizes that this requires no technical skill whatsoever. It's a far cry from his former life. Once head of his own finance firm, listen, I sound like Margaret.
Yeah, I did the French and everything.
Finance firm. Madoff is now identified as inmate 62727-054 at Butner Federal Correctional Complex. He's serving a 150-year sentence after pleading guilty in 2009 to siphoning $17.5 billion from thousands of investors, wiping them out in a long-running pyramid-type deception. He said he only works a few hours a day, which leaves him plenty of time to ponder his undoing. I'm usually up at 4:30 in the morning because I can't sleep, said Madoff, 75, who's scheduled to be released in 2139. Well, that's fantastic.
Well, I mean, after he gets out.
What do you mean, after he gets out?
When he gets out.
2139, man. He's 75 years old.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean...
Oh, no, I know, man. It's over 100 years away.
Yeah, so he ain't getting out, man. He's going to croak in prison.
Well, never say never.
Oh, get out of here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft and, of course, is available by way of podcast tomorrow at philhendryshow.com. Our classic podcast tomorrow, check it out, episode 164 at philhendryshow.com. For all of us here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we bid you an adieu with the final words of Let That Be a Lesson to You.
Say never.
I can. Never say never.
Never can't say never.
Phil Hendry.